Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. I'm here in studio with Leslie Hanks, Vice President of Colorado Right to Life. Leslie, thanks for joining me.
Oh, it's an honor, Bob. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. There are a few things to talk about. One, there's a late-term abortionist. We've received information that there is a late-term abortion scheduled for 3:30 this afternoon, real tragedy, at a Health One hospital called Sky Ridge. And so I'd like to talk about that. Also, a Whites protest, the corporation that's building the Planned Parenthood largest facility in the country here in Denver. And what is happening in Kansas with the efforts against late-term abortion, both in Wichita with George Tiller and the Planned Parenthood in Kansas City. So those are the things I'd like to talk about with you, if that's all right.
That's great. There is just really too much going on for us to keep up with, it feels like.
Yeah, there is.
Which is great. I mean, it's really good. There's some momentum happening, and we are on the offense a lot more than we have been in the past, I think.
Well, that's true, but that brings us right away to this whole issue in Kansas, because it's an issue. Well, I'd like to start out, you and I could discuss this issue, because you see George Tiller talked about on, say, Fox News Channel with Bill O'Reilly,
right.
And then he has Phil Klein come on, the local district attorney in Johnson County, and he says, we're going after George Tiller for violating our late-term abortion laws, and the pro-lifers all get excited and cheerlead. So let's talk through that.
Okay, and we just had Phil Klein as our Light on Life banquet speaker. Some of the listening audience got to hear him. He is a real dynamic, powerful guy. And
he sure is. So what about that tactic of outlawing passing laws? This was passed back in 1998 in Kansas, a state law against late-term abortion unless there's a second doctor that signs independently that this is really a needed abortion. There's some good reason to kill this child. So let's talk through that issue, just generally.
Yeah, because you're actually asking your listening audience to stretch their mind a little bit beyond the way they've been taught to think for the last, I think you mentioned it earlier today, 25 years, and maybe we can talk a little bit about why you felt like that was a point of departure in the 40-year movement since Colorado passed the first abortion law.
Right. In the last quarter century, National Right to Life and others have departed from fighting for the God-given right to life of the child to regulating abortion. And there are all kinds of negative consequences when we do that. And so in Wichita, let's think through this. They are fighting. They're using laws to try to go after late-term abortion clinics and abortionists that do late-term abortions. And Christians real easily cheerlead those efforts. But are there negative consequences? And in fact, is it even moral? And I argue that it's, first off, it's immoral, first off. It's immoral to pass a law that says, that regulates abortion and says, well, you can't do the abortion this way. But of course, you can't do a partial birth abortion past the belly button.
Right.
But up to the belly button, you could kill the baby. Or you can't kill a baby in Kansas unless a second doctor signs. Right? Those kinds of laws. Because, first of all, they're immoral. Any law that ends with, and then you can kill the baby, is a bad law.
That's right. But they seem reasonable, Bob. And you and I have talked about this many times, that it's really easy to lapse into thinking that those things are doing good for the movement and good for the babies. And yet you're so right.
They seem reasonable. And so let's say we succeeded. Let's say we succeeded with all our regulation efforts that no more in America is there late-term abortion. And you can't kill the babies with these obviously gruesome techniques. You have to kill them with more humane techniques.
Nicer techniques.
Right. And National Right to Life succeeds so that there's painkiller anesthetic available to every baby so that the baby gets killed without feeling any pain. And that juveniles can't have abortions without their parents' permission. The parent has to sign, yes, you can kill the baby. So, and there's waiting periods, so these are not rushed decisions. So to the judges in the country, to the politicians, and to the masses, abortion now appears much more
reasonable.
Reasonable. more humane.
It does.
More tolerable. And so what we are doing, because we've tried to do these calculations and predictions, and we forgot God's enduring command, do not murder, and that this is an inalienable right to life given to us from our Creator, we don't have the right to regulate how you could kill innocent children. We don't have that right. So because of that, we've forgotten about that. We've pursued this path for a quarter of a century, and we could become the PR firm for Planned Parenthood.
I see your point.
National Right to Life is the PR firm for Planned Parenthood, because a PR firm wants to make a company look good.
That's right.
And so we're doing their heavy lifting, their PR, making them look good so they could survive another century. They could be killing kids 100 years from now, thanks to the pro-life movement not trusting and obeying God. And so this is the problem in Kansas, as it is everywhere, where there are these efforts to make sure that the abortionists obey the law and kill the kids within the confines of our regulations.
Right. I mean, you can't say God says thou shalt not murder and then say it's okay to have two killers agree that,
yeah.
that a baby should die, because it's just absurd. But
for example, in Wichita, Kansas, a grand jury was impaneled, and so they're looking at George Tiller here. The Attorney General Paul Morrison alleges, now his hand is being forced in this because he's really pro-choice, but alleges that Tiller, who is the late-term abortionist there, George Tiller, failed to get a second opinion on some late-term abortions. So this is a big public battle. It takes months or years. And so the battle is whether or not he got second opinions on late-term abortions. And that battle, every public campaign, every public effort educates people. It teaches people.
So that's right.
What if, and the masses are not exactly morally tuned in to God's principles of righteousness.
That's true.
The masses are not. They're easily led astray. And so when there is not a clear message from Christian pro-lifers, the masses are more inclined to go down the path of immorality. And you know what? Abortion, if we regulate it, if we do it right, when it's needed for late-term babies, if you have a second opinion, if you have anesthesia available, if there's a 24-hour waiting period, then what's so bad about that? That's what you guys have been fighting for 25 years.
And that's the kind of thing that your listeners probably hear somebody like Bill O'Reilly promoting on Fox News. And so it is really easy to feel like, wow, they're really onto something.
What a great point. Like, O'Reilly is a great example, because people think Christians, they think he's pro-life when he says he's pro-choice.
We do like to be deceived, Bob. You've brought that up more than once.
We do. We like to be lied to. He's pro-choice, but he thinks abortion should be more humane.
That's right.
It should be more humane. And so a guy like Tiller gives abortion a bad name. It gives Planned Parenthood a bad name. So let's regulate the abortion industry so it's more tolerable. It's more humane. It looks better. And National Right to Life and Phil Klein, I believe, Phil Klein has not considered these negative consequences of his action. He fought for this law. This is his law back in 1998. And so we have sent him probably 20 copies of our DVD, Focus on the Strategy 2, and he has committed over and over to watch it. And he has staff members who are hoping that he watches it. But so far he hasn't. And he knows that there is a huge disagreement in the pro-life movement. But I don't believe he still understands what the disagreement is about.
Well, that's possible. That's for sure.
I actually don't believe he knows what the disagreement is even about.
Well, we do need to follow up there and encourage him to watch that Focus on the Strategy DVD, because it really does.
Yeah.
It opens your eyes to a whole new way of thinking, and that's what we're doing today. We're helping the listeners understand that you can't have two people that will benefit. They'll get money for agreeing to kill this poor child. So we obviously can't continue to champion those kinds of laws.
Yeah, so in Kansas, the executive director of Kansans for Life, Mary Kay Culp, she is quoted by the Associated Press, this was yesterday, advocating, of course, this action against George Tiller. And I think there is this moral crisis in the pro-life movement, because there are two things that we could try to do. One is predict the future, and the other is obey God. And I don't see anywhere where God requires of us that we predict the future, otherwise he punishes us.
Yeah, good point.
He doesn't require that we predict the future. He requires that we obey him. In obeying him, you look at the principles in the Ten Commandments, especially the four that are foundation of a criminal justice system. Do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, and do not commit perjury. And you, those are pretty simple. That's a lot easier than predicting the next 10, 50, 100 years of what will happen with the abortion industry. Way easier.
That's right.
Way easier. And so we have been deceived into thinking that our job is to predict the future and to make these very complex calculations and sort of outwit Planned Parenthood, when our job is just to trust and obey God. So that's a crisis. Could we look at the charges in Johnson County in Kansas City? There were how many charges brought against that Planned Parenthood there?
Well, I think 107.
107 total.
All total, right.
And then some of them, you had a breakdown of what some of the charges were.
Right. 29 misdemeanor counts of unlawful failure to determine viability for a late-term abortion.
Oh, that's 29 times the accusation, and Phil Klein is personally prosecuting these charges. So 29 times Planned Parenthood there in Kansas City, Johnson County, did not determine viability. And
the other one's 29 misdemeanor counts of unlawful late-term abortion.
Okay, unlawful late-term abortion, and then there are other charges also. So in other words, we're going after them because they didn't determine the age of the baby. If they would have determined the age of the baby, then you've got this confusing message being sent to the public that's the problem. So some of them will think, well, if that's the problem, why should they have to determine the age of the baby? Just let's get rid of that.
Yeah.
And others will think, well, as long as we have these good regulations and follow them, then everybody should be happy.
Well, and it's easy to forget that every baby is just as precious from the moment of fertilization as it's ever going to be. And get rid of the notion that, well, you know, just if it's a late-term abortion, that's horrible. But if it's an early one, oh, it's just not that bad.
Yeah, and that, of course, that notion, of course, has been ingrained in the American psyche.
Totally.
Totally. And it hasn't been ingrained by Planned Parenthood, not by the Democratic Party, not by the NOW. It's been ingrained by the Christian pro-life leaders. We are the ones who have convinced America that late-term abortions are really bad, and the younger ones, and National Right to Life, they're not even opposed to, you know, the abortifacients that kill the kids after fertilization.
That's true.
They don't take positions against that.
That's true. I was at a board meeting one time when mm-hmm. Dr. Wilkie, one of the past presidents, wanted to talk about his fear that chemical abortion was going to become a huge problem.
And of course it has.
It has. And they declined to allow a past president 15 minutes or 5 minutes even to make his case that was something they should be concerned about.
Right. Because when you compromise on do not murder, where do you draw the line? And of course, National Right to Life's line is so fuzzy and confusing. You can't even. The only thing they won't compromise on, apparently, is Republican Party politics. That they're pretty strong on that.
That's true.
So here's a small list of consequences when you regulate child killing, like, for example, like Phil Klein is doing in Kansas. When you regulate child killing, you move pro-life judges to reject the God-given right to life.
That's, oh boy, that's powerful.
And we're seeing that throughout the federal judiciary and even on the Supreme Court. Pro-life judges, men who would be, and women who would be pro-life, they are asked to uphold laws that say if you wait 24 hours, you could kill the baby.
I was going to say Priscilla Owen comes to mind.
Priscilla Owen. Yeah, she's pro-life from Texas. It's supposed to be pro-life, except there was a problem with the paperwork. On a technicality, she ruled to kill baby 10.
That's right.
So she can't believe that baby 10 has a God-given right to life. She cannot believe that because she's upheld child-killing regulations, and therefore when you follow the rules, you kill the baby.
Well, I think she probably in her heart does believe that the child has a God-given right to life, but she's a product of the Christian pro-life movement for the last 25 years, as we mm-hmm. talked about earlier, just as much as any of us are. And it's so easy to lapse back into that mentality that, oh, we're doing some good, you know, so that some babies will live. And
Well, I actually think, you know, when you have a right, like a free speech right, and then the government says, well, this person is over 65 years, so they're not allowed free speech anymore.
If you take it to other examples, then it's crystal clear to us. Why does it get so fuzzy when it's in the pro-life realm?
Yeah, so the God-given right to life, right, it gets fuzzy because of National Right to Life and Jay Sekulow and Focus on the Family, celebrating a brutal ruling like the partial birth abortion ruling that says if you pull a baby out to his belly button, you could kill it. You could rip off its arms or legs.
You
give it lethal injection. There's all these ways you can kill it, and they're celebrating. And even though Dr. Dobson admitted in writing, it will not save a single human life.
That's
just
unbelievable.
Talk about
it?
Fuzzy. Talk about confused. So, but if Priscilla Owen believed that the baby had a God-given right to life, as a judge, judges know you don't violate people's rights.
That's true.
If you violate someone's rights, that's... You could turn that over on appeal, or that's one of like their ultimate principles. So that they have to be convinced that the government has the right to regulate the killing of that child, and so that child doesn't have a God-given right to life. That's how I process it. That if they were to believe at that moment that that baby had an inalienable,
there's a word we've forgotten.
It's not transferable. You can't give it to National Right to Life. They can't trade it away for some donations and an election victory. It's not transferable. You can't kill an innocent person intentionally. Then Priscilla Owen and William Pryor and Alito and all these judges would say, no, you can't. These are bad laws. You can't kill these kids.
Well, and you know, another group that deserves some blame for dropping the ball, Bob, is how many pastors are out there talking about the God-given right to life of these preborn babies?
Yeah.
I can't think of any in Denver except for yourself.
Wow. Well, I'm sure there are some who believe it, but they...
Do they preach it?
And they might preach it now and then, but not making much of a public issue out of it.
Not much.
Hmm. And when that is the crisis of our time, is that we are killing, you know, people are rightly concerned about Al-Qaeda, but we kill way more people of our own accord.
Every day. Right. 4,000 babies and close to 1,400 or more than 1,400 black babies every day, which could bring us to another interesting topic.
Mm-hmm.
The White's Corporation building a death camp in a minority neighborhood in Denver.
Right. Does whites want to kill blacks?
Good question.
Does whites want to kill blacks? And, yeah, what a tragic confluence of coincidences. And here you have the oldest construction company in the nation still operating, 14th largest, and they're building the largest abortion facility right here in Denver. But not if we have anything to say about it. We don't have much to say about it.
Right, but down the street from Martin Luther King Park, is it not?
Martin Luther King Park, good point.
And we know that Dr. Martin Luther King's niece, Dr. Alveda King, is very much concerned about the genocide in the African-American community. And
by Planned Parenthood.
That's right.
They started in racist roots, and they still locate most of their abortion clinics in minority neighborhoods.
That's very, very sadly true.
Hey, a few more of these examples of negative consequences of when you regulate child killing. You have pro-choice politicians who you provide cover for.
That's the truest thing about the late-term abortion ban.
Yeah, how does that work? How do you provide cover for pro-choice candidates? How does that work? What happens?
Well, they say, hey, I voted to protect those babies.
Yeah, right. I voted for the partial birth abortion ban. Of course, I knew it wouldn't stop a single abortion. So I voted for it. I'm not an extremist. I'm pro-life.
Yeah.
So you have Tom Daschle and, you know, and the electorate are gullible.
They are.
Especially
around
Christians.
Election time.
Yeah, right. So then also it prunes the abortion weed and it strengthens its root by making abortion, the murder of children, look more humane and reasonable.
I love that analogy about pruning
the abortion weed.
It's good, yes.
It really is good. And then, of course, it denies the inalienable rights from our Creator by promoting moral relativism and legal positivism. Christians don't know what's right or wrong any longer. I mean, they just don't know. We find neighbors of these construction executives Christian pro-life. They tell us what church they go to. They're strongly against abortion, and they say he has every right to build that abortion clinic. He has to put food on his table.
And they say things like, you should be praying about it because prayer is what's going to make a difference. All the while, we'll keep building the death camp.
Yeah, right. In fact, the people building the death camp who say they're Christian pro-life, they say we should be praying while they build the death camp.
That's what they told us
last
week.
And we do pray. We do pray, of course. But God doesn't say pray and do nothing else.
That's true. Right? A lot of people talk about getting cover. A lot of people say when asked, well, what are you doing to try to stop the slaughter of the innocent babies 4,000 times a day in the country? Well, I pray about it.
Yeah, and they want to feel led. But they do have led, but it's in their pants. I guess that's what they mean when they feel led. So then also the abortion regulations will keep abortion legal after Roe v. Wade is overturned, because I always use Indiana as an example, their informed consent law. Do you remember how it goes, that abortion is illegal except if the woman signs this permission?
That's right.
Informed
that's
consent.
Right. So it's virtually not illegal in Indiana anymore.
Indiana or anywhere else we have laws like that. And then also, these child killing regulations may keep abortion legal for perhaps a century longer than would a principled fight over personhood. And the ultimate reason why it's wrong is because child killing regulations violate God's command, do not murder, with laws ending, and then you could kill the baby.
And Bob, don't you think everybody in the listening audience and beyond would love to see babies protected in their mother's wombs before our lives end? I mean, a lot of us have poured our lives into this, and it doesn't seem like there's an end in sight.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there is. I think there's a glimmer of hope, and I think your work is really putting the foundation down for the personhood movement to really springboard into action in this country.
It's now undeniable that 2007 has been the year of the pro-life movement erupting into a debate over strategy.
Yep.
And it was 2 years ago in 2005, we put out Focus on the Strategy. And then you planned the event at the Capitol back in April for the 40th anniversary of America's first permissive abortion law for rape, incest, and health. And that was this extraordinarily powerful, historic event.
It was amazing.
Dr. Keyes
was amazing, of course.
Dr. Alan Keyes in the very Supreme Court chambers where our Republican governor 40 years ago signed that first permissive abortion law. And that produced a video, Focus on the Strategy 2, the sequel. And then we had our open letter ad campaign to Dr. Dobson and calling on the pro-life movement to debate strategy, and many other groups are doing exactly that right now.
And that letter campaign is still ongoing, is it not?
Still ongoing. And Dr. Alan Keyes just agreed to be a signer to the open letters. That's powerful. There hasn't been one yet published with his name as a signer yet, but that's coming.
And isn't the potential for Dr. Moore, Roy Moore, Judge Roy Moore, to be...
Well, he has the...
He's agreed.
The exciting news with Judge Roy Moore is that he has basically repented and changed his public defense of the partial birth abortion.
That's
ruling.
Really encouraging.
Yeah, he has now admitted that it is a godless, evil ruling. It says you can kill kids and you could do it this way. He said he supported it until he read it. Then he saw what an abomination it was. So that is encouraging. So, okay, so it's been quite a year. And now we have the protest against the Weitz Corporation for being contracted to build this largest abortion facility. And, in fact, at 4 o'clock today, there'll be a protest at the Weitz Corporation.
Right down the road from Bellevue and Monaco, just west of I-25.
Okay.
And it's about a block or two north of Bellevue on Monaco.
Okay, so Bellevue and I-25 west to Monaco, north to Union. It's right there.
That's
4
right.
o'clock. People could go out. And then it turns out that we have received information that there's a late-term abortion scheduled for today, in fact, just minutes from now, a 24-week handicapped baby. They say the baby's deformed. That, I think, is a way to make it less human, dehumanize the baby. But a handicapped baby, 24 weeks old, in this Health One hospital called Sky Ridge Medical mm-hmm. Center, is apparently scheduled to kill this baby.
Down near Park Meadows.
Yeah, so on our website at kgov.com, we have phone numbers that people can call to ask them to change their policy. Don't kill these babies. And look at this crime. The baby's handicapped, so you kill it.
Oh, we might have a cleft palate or something, Bob. Obviously, a lot of these things can be operated on mm-hmm. even in the womb.
So I'd like to give two phone numbers, one for the surgery waiting room
okay.
at this hospital, Sky Ridge, and another for the administration. And the surgery waiting room phone number is 720-225-1630. That's 1630. And the administration, 720-225-1010. 720-225-1010. So that people could call and beg whoever answers to stop this killing of this 24-week-old handicapped baby scheduled for right now. And so, and I want to thank you, Leslie, for joining me.
Oh, thank you, Bob.
Some very difficult discussions, but really important ones.
I think so. Lots of information for people to ponder.
So thank you. And our website is KGov, KGOV.com. You've been listening to Bob and Yurt Live. And if you've never received our catalog, you could call us and order that, or go online and go to KGov, KGOV.com, click on our store, and you'll see all our many resources to help you grow and mature as a believer and a pro-lifer. And Maranatha Christian Center, what a great school in Arvada, Maranatha.